Hello, everyone, and welcome to Flying Solo Podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest, Holly. She's a founder and CEO of Funday, and it's an incredible shoewear brand, super fun. You should definitely check it out. She's been with us to Paris Fashion Week and recently launched in our stores. So, Holly, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and be here with you on a podcast. I used to work in podcasting, and now to join you guys as my first partner in the fashion space, it's extremely exciting.
Amazing. So tell us more about Funday. How did you start? How did the idea of this super fun brand came to you, and what were your first steps to execute it?
Yes, absolutely. So many factors. Funday is really a labor of love. It's my entire life coming together, a compilation of experiences, challenges that I'd seen in the world, sustainability goals, wanting to do better, be a better, more conscious consumer, and really sprinkling joy and fun and bringing some flair and flavor back into the world. So I worked in media, as I mentioned, with podcasting for about 25 years and helped a lot of other brands with branding and strategy and storytelling primarily. And I knew that the foundation of businesses and what they were doing for sustainability and for purpose-driven brands was only growing stronger and greater need for the responsibility of brands to really do that for the communities was ever growing and going to be important. So I always had a hunger in the back of my mind, like, what would I do if I would launch my own brand? What would that be? What would my story be? And then simultaneously, I love shoes. I've always loved shoes. I've always been known for my shoes. If you ask my family, I sold my mom her own shoes every night before dinner. So that was always a labor of, or a love of mine, excuse me. But absolutely love them. However, never really worked in fashion or thought I'd have the audacity to risk as much as I did and kind of go for it. The big change for me and what gave me the confidence to dive in was when I studied a lot of market trends for sustainability and noticed there really wasn't an opportunity for me, who someone who loves style and fashion and color, to buy anything sustainable. It's like, I would love to save the world, but it's got to be in red stilettos, right? So I feel like the opportunities, the offerings of sustainable products were beige and boring. It was a sea of same. And it's like, how do we break out of that? How do we offer and show? I mean, sustainability, the plants of the world are bold and colorful, and yet they weren't really being used in fashion. So I decided to take a leap of faith and go for it.
Amazing. So what was the actual first step? So you had that idea that you want something cool and fun and what will reflect your own style, but you want it to be sustainable. So what was your first step? Did you start researching factories? Did you start sketching? So what was it?
Yeah, no, great question. Because I wasn't a designer and sketching is not my thing. I wish I had that talent. Mine looked like kindergarten sketches. My research began in the material space. So plant-based materials. So really, just diving into it on the side. What are the options? What is out there? Who was using them? My research started about 5 years ago, and luckily there are a lot more options now, but at the time they were fairly limited, yet they were there and they weren't being utilized. So I studied wine grape leathers and corn and cork, apple and mushrooms, and now banana leaves, all kinds of fun things are coming. So it was really exciting to see what the possibilities were and how I could apply them. And then I had to go in and look for factories and different partners.
Great. And I'm guessing, given that you're not a designer by trade, so you had to find one, correct?
I actually did it all, which was amazing. I guess I did hire someone from a design standpoint to sketch it, if you will, but like I gave them the bones of some loose ones. So I had to hire some people to do some tech packs for me. That was something that was new. But as far as the designs themselves, I was able to convey what I wanted through Pinterest lookbooks, those types of things. Like, I like this component, but not that component. What about this? And really just pushing the envelope and asking for more and asking for more opportunities of things that could be in the market. market. I went to Italy a lot, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. No complaints there. One of the perks of the job that I created is traveling. And I did my own sourcing. So I really got to know the people in the factories and the communities and the stores that they have, and was able to pick everything and then have it come together and have it come to life.
So you're basically super hands-on business owner, and it's incredible that even though you didn't have a background in design, you were still able to convey how you wanted to be designed. And I always found that most incredible business owners are oftentimes not even the ones that actually started with design. They start with idea and a purpose and passion, and then they find a way to put it together and make it into the world.
Right. No, thank you so much. It's actually so fun. I've never loved doing something more. So I mentioned I was known for my shoes. So I've always been attached to fashion in a different way. So being able to bring that to life through work was super important for me. And one of the ideas of the brand, to your earlier question, because there's so many facets of the brand, if we take a step back and tell you how I got the name, it'll kind of paint the picture also of part of the branding. So it's called Fun Day, and intentionally it has a food analogy, so the ice cream. So it's all about picking your cone, pick your flavor, and put your cherry on top. And so the food connotation is to really think through the ingredients and guide and educate and be transparent so that people know more what they're wearing and what's you know, what's important in our decisions in what we purchase. And then also, because of the cherry on top, that is actually my unique secret sauce, if you will, right? So my magnetic, I have a patent pending magnetic hardware. And that came about through, I traveled all the time for work. And I was over in New York and Chicago, I was always going back and forth. And because I loved fashion and shoes, it's like, okay, I can't wear the same outfit more than once. That's not okay, right? I know I have to have a different pair of shoes with every outfit every day of the week. So it's like, how do I travel and not check a bag because I can't be late for the meeting? And I'm like, if only there was a shoe where I could mix and match the looks and travel lightly, be on the go, but still be super fashionable. And so that's really how the magnetic component came to be. So I think because of that love of fashion and really bringing it to life, and it's so different. So yes, I make shoes. However, I'm really trying to build a brand and a community, and that magnetic hardware goes on purses and headbands and belts, and it's creating a modular fashion design that should live amongst other products. And so being hands-on was super important for me because it's never been done before. So I needed to guide them on how I needed it to be and how it would work. So I was really the only one testing it too. So I had to be front and center. It was a bit of a Goldilocks experience. So it was a little bit too loose at first and was falling off, and then it was a little bit too tight. And so that was putting tension on the product. And I added some little arms of resistance so that way, if you do bump it, it will not fall off. So a lot of years of product testing, but it gave me the confidence that now I can push it out to the consumers and it won't fall off. You can high kick on a dance floor all day long.
That is so great. And I love the fact that you are your own customer and you love the product that you do and you wear it. I also think that most incredible brands come from the personal passion and something that you personally love, because if you test it on yourself, then you know for yourself what will be that best product, and what you don't have to guess, you just know if it's great for you, if you need some tweaking.
Right, exactly. Yes. And yeah, I've had some friends and family test with me along the way, which has been super exciting. I have two daughters, as you know, actually. I got to bring them to Paris Fashion Week. So I was able to participate in my very first Fashion Week with you in the Flying Solo team. And one, kudos to you guys, do an amazing job. So any new designer out there, hands down, Flying Solo, it's seamless. The amount of work you guys put into the back end and commentary and photography and videography and absolutely everything, plus providing the models, exceptional. And then you guys, I chose two of my models to be my daughters. So I got to make it a family affair and have them walk with us in Paris Fashion Week, which was such a dream come true. So yeah, I've been testing, the girls have been testing, my mom, my sister, and everybody. So it's exciting to bring it to the world now.
That is so great. So you did mention that your shoes are made with this sustainability in mind. So what leather do you use? You mentioned quite a few of sustainable leathers. So which one did you end up using?
Sure. No, thank you for asking about that because it is truly important. So every component and ingredient of the shoe has been hand sourced and under the lens of what is the most sustainable option out there. So if we start with the sole, I call it my signature. It's a silver spoon, right? So it's my signature silver. Would love to get that trademarked, but it is 100% recycled and recyclable. So I am working towards a take back program. So once I get the infrastructure in place, and I've talked to some people who can help me out, that circular, so we can regenerate that. So I was in Italy picking from the bins. I wanted silver, so I'm picking metals and plastics. And actually, luckily, a lot of them are luxury automotive parts, so it's
Oh,
super
wow.
fun. So now you can feel fast and fly in your footwear as well. But most importantly, it's 100% recycled and recyclable, which is very, very rare. Most shoes are either made of plastic. If they are made of leathers, they're very, very thin and they wear out. And then you're constantly having to resole them. Mine is as durable and waterproof as a rainboat. I've just shaved it really, really thin, so it still has that sleek and sexy look on a high heel. So that's my first ingredient in the sole. And then working up, I have every shoe is lined with corn. And the corn materials are regionally sourced in Italy, so it's also a lower carbon footprint. So northern Italy, I source the corn material, and I handpicked from a variety of the corn options, and the one I chose is 75% plant-based, which is really, really high. Some of the plant-based and biomaterials are actually anywhere from usually 40 to 60%. So the 75 I was really, really thrilled about. So every shoe has that same lining and that same sole. And then the variety comes in the flavor options. And so for my launch, I primarily have three main plant-based options. So I have some wine grape leathers. The wine grapes skins are pressed also in northern Italy. I have corn on the outside, so it's also a lining and an upper material. And I have cork from Portugal. So still fairly regionally sourced, and a lower carbon footprint from Portugal, and the cork trees are regenerative. I got to know the vendors as well and did a lot of research. So they're more water-based and low chemical. So there's so many factors that go into the materials and the importance of how truly sustainable it is. And I really want to make a point on, there's a lot of greenwashing out there, and people say that they're vegan. And while that's true in the PETA sense, there are a lot of fashion products or products in general that are vegan because they are not made of leathers or any animal byproducts, but they're synthetic plastics, and it's actually worse for the environment than leathers themselves. And so I was very particular and intentional about the sourcing that I chose.
I see. Well, that's truly incredible. And I do agree, there is a lot of greenwashing out there where people just basically sell you plastic that is recyclable for the next sustainable option, claiming that it's vegan. I mean, obviously it is vegan. There is no animal materials used, but is it really better for us? It might end up being significantly worse in the long term.
Right.
So therefore, yes, kudos to you. That's,
Thank you.
I know from your story how much love and effort you put into sourcing all those things, and it's not easy. So anyone who happened to own a pair of your shoes should truly appreciate all the effort and like little details that goes into making of the design of those shoes. So Paris Fashion Week. So why was that your first move? What inspired you to go for Paris?
That's a great question. I kind of feel like it's one of those green light moments in life where you're building, you're manifesting, and I'm envisioning how it's going to roll out. And maybe Fashion Week was on my radar a few years down the road, if you will. And not being from the fashion space, didn't really even know what opportunities could be available for a smaller independent brand like myself versus, these big houses of fashion. And so when I found Flying Solo from the retail space, and I knew about your New York store, started having conversations with your team and was looking to partner and get the shoes on the shelves in New York. And then someone mentioned you also had the Paris store. And because I'm a European brand and was also already trending in some small focus groups, I do really well in Europe. So Europe's ahead of the United States on sustainability. And so it's on their radar, and it's not as segregated into this like casual, sustainable, you know, hippies type vibe that the US kind of had been. So one, they're a little bit more forward thinking, but also really enjoy color, especially in the UK and different places. So I thought, wow, you know, Paris, the fact that you had both stores and you guys made it, you know, an opportunity for me to do that. I said, yeah, let's do Paris. And then quite honestly, I believe the opportunity was happenstance. You guys had a designer that had backed out, and you guys reached out to me because I was in the Paris store, and I just felt like it was one of those callings. It's like, hey, here's a giant olive branch for all the hard work you've done all these years. We're going to get you to Fashion Week a lot faster than you thought. And so I just jumped in, and it was one of the greatest decisions I've ever made because you guys are so experienced in it, but my eyes were just open. I got to see so many other brands, how they do things. And it really put good pressure, like fast forward, like do this. And I was really pleased that I got to walk as an accessory brand on my own, and thanks to you guys for allowing me to do that. So as you know, I don't sell clothing, but what I did was storytelling, which is one of my favorite things to do, and I've always done it in the audio space, but as a visual, colorful person, I couldn't wait to do it. So I designed headpieces to go with the shoes. So of course, they didn't walk out naked, but they had the little A-line dresses. But the storytelling was a fascinator with a bouquet of the ingredients of their shoes. So if they were wearing cork shoes, they had some corks and wine grapes. And so we really tried to have some fun. I feel I have a tiny bit of like maybe a vintage retro vibe to it. So I feel like that fascinator style kind of worked. So it was really fun to think beyond the shoe and the potential of what this fashion brand can actually be. So thank you guys for that opportunity. It was amazing.
Of course, I do remember your collection from Paris Fashion Week really vividly. It was so fun to have those models. Like, it was so much color, and press loved it as well. And ever since then, I know that you've been featured quite a bit. So I know that you've been in Harper's, you've been to Grazia a couple times, and a bunch more magazines that who really appreciated all your super fun designs. I think your designs are so editorial that it's, you know, just meant to be in the pages of magazines. Your approach to the whole thing, starting with Paris Fashion Week, getting into publications, it's a great approach for your brand because they need to be noticed. It's something, it's not, your shoes are not about utility to begin, like from the beginning. It's more about the fun, the statement is like out there. And then you also get to learn all those incredible things about sustainability and how they are made, and yeah, I think it's the whole multiple layers behind your shoes.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that because that was really the goal, is in the sense of from a style perspective, meet people where they're at and then educate them on the sustainability, because there was such a disparity of sustainability and the connotation of, you know, casual wear and lack of color or earth tones. I really wanted to reach the style people, and then there's the additive bonus that it really is sustainable, because it's going to be an educational process for a lot of brands to start getting people to think differently, you know, that you're going to start to have a passport of our different ingredients that we have. So I wanted to start with style because the rest, you know, I have two different types of campaigns, but being able to attract from a style perspective, because you know, you've got to win if people are going to wear it, right? It has to look good or it has to have something, but the editorial part in the fun, because it is unique, is amazing. So it's cheeky. It's got the ice cream vibe or bright colors or swirl cone heels. And so I'm excited and pleased that editorial has picked it up. And it's also, you know, some editorials are unattainable and or not your everyday. So even though I'm a little bit unique, it's still a good everyday type of shoe. You know what I mean? Like some of these runway walkways, you're like not wearing the giant poof that doesn't fit through the doorway, you know, that kind of thing. You can only wear it once in a while. So in a way, I'm trying to bring that fun flair to an everyday type of life.
Yeah. And you're a very unique brand in that sense, because again, when you think of sustainability, you do think of earth colors, you think of something very casual, something that not necessarily looking good, but maybe more practical, and you get to feel good about, you know, the whole, like, how it was manufactured. But yours scream fun first, and only then you get to know that they have so many incredible things behind them. And I also think that this is the future of sustainable fashion, because as consumers, we do get, while we want to support sustainability, we dress up not for the sake of being safe or blend in. Majority of us dress because we love something. We truly love something. We want to wear something fun, especially us in like a fashion industry. So yes, so definitely great approach. And tell me more about your reasoning for going into retail. Obviously, for a young brand, it's a big step. So what was the need there? You were obviously selling online before us. So what was your need to go to retail?
Sure, it is. It's a big stretch, absolutely. I feel like with what retail, so what I learned in prior to signing with Flying Solo and being in retail, of course, I'm pushing direct to consumer. I'm loving the fact that when I have a retail partner such as yourselves, I'm getting digital content. Like it's all working together, and that is the goal. In fact, I can barely keep up with the press you're getting for me, so I'm working on that. But primarily, it's getting in person and having people touch and feel the shoe and testing the magnet. So I noticed in some of the trunk shows and in-person events that I had been doing prior to launch, kind of like in the soft launch mode, people really want to play around with the magnet. And you know, maybe it's like, ah, oh, it's going to fall off, you know. So I know I need some more video content on that, but I felt like in retail, people, the touch and the feel, and shoes, people want to try them on. Plant-based materials, if I'm only promoting that, or they realize it online, maybe they're thinking it's not as good as leather, or it's not as quality. So there are a lot of hurdles that I've created for myself that I think in the long run will pay off. But I noticed some of the questions, like online, the conversions were a little bit of a challenge because it's new, right? And so seeing it in person, having the ability to have partners like yourselves where they can go in store, try it on. We, you know, there's a difference between European sizes and the U.S. So there's so many factors and benefits to the in-person that I want to take that stretch and really have that as a component of building the brand awareness.
Amazing. And what is next for you? Are you planning a new collection? What's the direction that your brand is going into?
Sure. Exciting. There's so many things that I want to do. And that's one of my biggest challenges is I'm a visionary. So I'm always thinking of all the next things, and I need to do some of the day-to-day as well. I have a collection for the fall that I'm hoping to roll out in maybe Milan or New York with you guys. We're in conversations for that. I have some above the knee, really sexy, silky boots that are all from recycled water bottles. And so being able to tell that story will be very exciting, and just getting some more fall items. So I had primarily just some lower knit boots and then the pumps and sandals. So I'm very excited to have some over the knee boots and some gorgeous colors coming out. And I also have some purse prototypes and some headbands. So the magnetic hardware that allows you to put the different bows on and flowers and different things will also be able to go onto your purse or onto a headband or different things. So the goal with that, of course, is fun, pizzazz. I want to celebrate the uniqueness, and in a way, you can purchase my product and someone purchase the exact same product, but when you decorate it, like, that's where the individuality comes. And to your point of people who love fashion, fashion is a statement piece. It's a conversation starter. It's really part of our identity, and so it's so important to have the style component and then the roots and the foundation and the sustainability. And because I have that personalization element with the magnet, it's actually inherently sustainable in that it's multi-use. So I say you can reshoot. So think of like single-use plastics, multi-use, you know, containers. That's kind of what I'm doing for the fashion. It's like invest in less, like a few quality pieces that you absolutely love, and then you get to style the heck out of it. So that's why I'm branching out into other accessories, handbags and headbands.
Amazing. Holly, thank you so much for sharing your story. I know that you inspire a lot of our listeners who are designers to go to the journey of creativity and discovery and going really deep into those details. And I know that you inspire the other part of our listeners to go check out your shoes because they are truly incredible. Guys, definitely check it out. It's a great, super playful, super fun pair of shoes that you can own and have in your closet and have a story behind it. So Holly, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to partner with you and can't wait to see what else we can bring to life together.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.